Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and blessings, my beloved brothers and sisters, family and friends. You know what? I'm actually outside. Didn't know that it was raining, although right now it's just drizzling. It feels so good. It's just so refreshing to know that the rain just takes away anything that is not good. Just wow. It's beautiful. Anyway, my beloved brothers and sisters, how are y'all doing today? I am so overjoyed. Some things is happening in my life that, wow, man. I got to tell you, I can't even explain it. And I know that I don't deserve it, but to God be the glory, you know, God be the glory. I just pray that I handle it as I supposed to. My beloved brothers and sisters, you know, yesterday, last night, I was talking about how our responsibility to handling, actually the responsibility of being a Christian, our responsibility to being a Christian, how we are supposed to handle it. One of the things that I come to understand about Jesus was this here. If you remember, when he was on the cross, there were seven things that he said. And the very first thing captured my soul, and that is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, he had been beaten. They pulled his hair, his beard, spat on him. I mean, they beat him from point A all the way to the cross. Then they nailed him to the cross. Yet, and as opposed to him looking up and saying, Father, why would you have me do this? As opposed to him going through all of the trials and tribulations of emotional turmoil that would cause him to be motivated to do that, which is what all of us do, complain. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As if he was literally letting it be understood that, Father, not only do they know who I am, but I'm asking you to act as though they know who I am and they did the right thing by me. It's pretty powerful. I've got to be honest with you. But then the next one also threw me off. And that is, if you remember, there's a sinner on the right, and there's a sinner on the left. And the sinner on his right side looked at the people and said, surely I deserve what I'm getting. But this man has done nothing wrong. For this man is righteous. Even he prayed for you. And what blew me away was this here. Jesus said, for today you will be with me in paradise. He asked Jesus to forgive him, to remember him when he go home. I am so overjoyed about that reality because it let us know that we, as Christians, should want the very best for even a sinner. That we should love one another so much until everything that has to do with us should have to do with somebody getting the very best. Many of us don't allow ourselves to get to that point in life. But then he didn't stop there. He concentrated on his mother. And he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And he looked at his disciple and he said, son, behold your mother. Now, let's look at that for a while. Here it is. He's dying. He's excruciating pain. And he has compassion for his mother who's looking at him in all this pain. His disciple who's witnessing him go through all of this pain. Blood is coming from different parts of his body. Yet he tries to comfort her by letting her understand that even though he's not your natural son, he's your son because he is my disciple. Enable me to understand this reality that we are to look after one another so much until there's something happened to any one of our adults who have children. We should be so on wanting to adopt the child. We should be there if it, regardless to what happens. That is, this child that is bringing in the mother who lost her husband, whatever the case may be. We should be there so much until the beat continues on while the healing is flowing. I'm so overjoyed with the beauty of being a Christian. The next thing he said is, I thirst. This kind of touches my heart. And the reason why is because, Father God, thank you for this. Even though he was thirsty, he would not drink the sour wine. Which lets me come to an understanding that although the body may be in need of something, you still don't have to take that which is less. That you can wait to get the best. If you know anything about the Holy Spirit, water is a symbolization of the Holy Spirit, and we should thirst for just the Holy Spirit and not thirst for anything less, which caused me to just put a smile on my face. And the reason why is because of the fact that I come to understand that God wants us all to have the very best. Oh, Father God, thank you for that. I must say that this one grieved my spirit. Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? I understand this part so well because I remember when, during the course of my being a Christian, and knowing that the Spirit of God had left, I cried all night. I remember how it felt to actually feel lonely beyond any loneliness and what I ever felt before becoming a Christian. And here the Father had to turn his back on his son because he's now taking on the sins of the world. He's now cleansing the world, ridding the world. The Father who literally had been with his son from the very beginning, and his son knew it even at the tender age of 12 years old. When he told his stepfather that I am about my father's business. And here he is now at the age of 33 and change, dying on the cross at a time when the Father had to leave him. What a lonely time that is. Can't imagine. I have been shot, and I know what it is to get close to death and to have nobody there with you, to not even be able to say, please forgive me for the foolish things I've said or the foolish things I've done. To have nobody. But then this part literally touched me completely. Father God, thank you. When he looked up, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When he looked up and he said, I commend my spirit unto you. That which is not mine, that which you allow me to have as a loan, I give it back to you. I understand that everything belongs to you, and you gave him to me long enough to get past this mission. And now I'm giving him back to you. What caused me to understand that beauty is, or I should say, what caused me to be motivated to love God even more is to know that nothing on earth belongs to us. That every ounce of what we have simply belongs to him. Especially the Holy Spirit. Just mind-boggling the last. It is finished. I came on the earth to die, and now I'm dying. It is finished. I came on the earth to save souls, and through this death, I shall do so. I came on this earth to let Satan know that he has no control over death, and it has been completed. I came here to get the keys of Hades, and I'm getting ready to go get them. I came here to fulfill the prophecy that I will be raised from the dead in 3 days. And now y'all shall see it come to pass. Father God. Now when I look and see that my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ completed everything that he needed to complete, what comes to my mind is this here. I feel sorry for the people who will not simply say and fulfill it, I have faith in you, Father God. I have faith in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I have faith in the Holy Spirit leading me. I shall let him do so humbly. The thing that I come to see is that many of us have not allowed ourselves the reality of peace and tranquility because we have not allowed ourselves to understand the reality of us being children to the Creator of heaven and earth, who formed man from the dust of the ground. We have not allowed ourselves the ability to say that I have a Father in heaven who gives me all things so that I can be a part of the passing through plan, through hardship, and I passed through it because of him. Things was hard. Things was difficult. Yet because of him, because of his plan, I have been able to get through. I now have that which is a necessity, and that is the maturity of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised that I would have when he ascended unto heaven. Allowing ourselves to actually believe that, we have allowed Satan permission to deceive us, to hurt us, to take from us, to destroy our dreams, and to literally kill us spiritually. Some people die physically. So I wonder, how could we actually expect to be treated as kings and queens since we've allowed ourselves to think like that of a peasant? Because if we truly understood the reality of being a child of God, we would not be deceived to believe otherwise. And you always know when those who have been deceived, because you'll see them complaining. You'll see how their emotions get involved in things that's not good. You'll see that they don't have control even over their own mind. And if you understand anything about God, he said in Proverbs 28 and 25, he who has no control over his own spirit is like a broken down city without walls, meaning that he who do not control himself is easily able to be attacked by Satan in every shape, fashion, or form in which he so chooses. Yet if we allow ourselves to understand the reality of letting the Holy Spirit lead us, we'll come to see the fruition of God working through us. Love, peace. Father God, thank you. Joy, faithfulness, this one happens to be one of my favorite ones. Patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, the fruits of the Spirit. When you see those fruits flowing through that of a person, it's only because they know that if God has allowed his son to go through the pain that we deserve to have gone through, then what pain can stop me from allowing God to get me through the things that has no comparison to what Jesus has gone through? So I can shout with joy because the reality is it's no comparison. I can be at peace with myself because I know that God loves me. I know that he gave me his son because he loves me. I understand that he is my Father in heaven. If you go to Romans 8:32, you'll see where it says, God who did not spare his own son, how much more would he give us in Christ Jesus? so I don't complain about nothing. I flow, I go with the flow. I enjoy life as it comes. The reason why, doesn't matter whether I'm laying on the ground, cold, or in a bed. Doesn't matter whether or not my stomach is full or if it's empty. It doesn't matter if I'm naked or fully clothed. It doesn't matter what I go through physically. I understand my Christ went through more than I can possibly understand. So I want to be in his company, so whatever I go through is okay with me, because if Jesus did what he did for me, then at the very least I should let God know that I appreciate him so much that I'm willing to put the deeds of my flesh to death so that I can walk in his spirit as opposed to walking in the flesh, causing me to complain. Why aren't things going my way? I'm tired and ready as it's going. As a matter of fact, there was a gentleman that I was talking to. Now, he was given some food that's free. He complained over the food while eating it at the same time, because he felt as though it should have been better food, even though the food, or correction, even though he couldn't feed himself. And I said to him, you have a choice here. Just don't eat the food. Yeah, but I'm hungry. Then why complain about what God gave you? Thing that I come to see is the devil will bring shame to you every time you open your mouth if you don't allow yourself to make a comparison between you and Jesus and say, I want to be like that. Holy Spirit, lead me in every shape, fashion, and form so that I can have the ability to be like that. Holy Spirit, lead me because I know that you can strengthen me so that I don't be less, so that I don't be a peasant, so that I disappoint my God. I just simply refuse to do so. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I believe in everything that you are about, so I shall allow myself to honor you even through my pain, even through my suffering, my confusion. Whatever I might be going through, I'm going to give you glory. So, Father God, you said that we should have no other gods before you. So I shall not put no other God before you. Not my pain, not my suffering, not my trials, my tribulations, my ups, my downs, not man, not woman, not things, not money. Nothing should be before you. I'm going to give you glory and honor at all given times. And the reason why, because not only do I become stronger, letting Satan know that he don't have control over me, I also have the ability to let him know I love you above all things. Which is going to make him have to say, I need to flee from thee. I'm not going to stop watching you. I'm going to continue doing that. I watch Jesus from the moment that he told me, get thee behind me, all the way to the time of him defeating me. So surely I will watch you. And we can stand up as kings and queens. Now there's a responsibility to that, because you cannot be a child and be a king. See, there's a difference between a prince and a king. You see, the prince don't have much of a responsibility other than to learn the responsibility of what a king does, so that when the king moves, the prince can say, I've been well taught, and now I can take his place with dignity. The queen, when she moves, the princess can say, I now understand what to do. Because of the Holy Spirit can enjoy the beauty of being a king or a queen. But there's nothing wrong with you just being a princess or a prince. But I say, listen carefully, practice continuously, and make sure that you let God know that you're asking for all of what will enable you, seeking all of what you can receive, and knocking at the door urgently so that the door shall be open to you. See, the beauty of following God is knowing that the moment that you were conceived, that he have a special anointing on you so that you can enjoy the beauty of showing people what a wonderful light that God has, and his name is Jesus, who can reside in you so amazingly until literally people won't see you but see him. God won't see you but the blood, which heals you. So I ask you, appreciate what God did. Do you believe what he did? See, because when you believe it, truly believe it, peace, be still, regardless of what wars is going all around you. Well, I got to go. I love you. God bless you. I speak with you soon. Take care.